I got lost in everybody's intentions. That was beautiful. Okay. So it really feels important to release the blocks to the heart. And Anne, I want to actually kind of address what you said about staying in the joy well, no matter what people are feeling or experiencing while they're around you, and holding the intention for them to have this space as well. So, yeah, that's just kind of beautifully put, because we do want to hold the intention for them to share this space. We can't force them in it. So, and that is a dance.
This line through to your conference call now.
Was that you, Teresa? What did that say about my conference call?
No, that was me.
Okay. So, anybody else?
Teresa. Hello, Teresa. Hello, Debbie.
Hello,
it's Marilyn. With a very hoarse voice, I've been trying to wake up since 1:30.
Hey, we're just grateful you show up. I'm in awe of you, so thank you.
Thank you.
Me too.
Thank you for doing this. And I just like to say, for my intentions, I'll have, let's see, a mixture of the last six intentions. Thank you.
I love it.
Just to make it short, right? And I'd like to finish by saying, I'd like to get to and stay in my happy place and my abundant place.
Oh, I love it. And you're in coherence right now with Anne in Hawaii.
Oh, cool. Okay. I don't know. I think I'm going to make a cup of coffee.
Okay, I want to point out to people that, like, some of the, like, abundance, you get an abundance of a lot of different things. So, yes, I'm going to intend abundance, but I'm also going to intend thriving and prosperity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's really important. And when you're speaking of abundance, just for yourself, write down what is it that you want an abundance of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because okay. You can have an
consciously bring that intention into this call tonight.
Okay.
Yes. So because the more specific we are about what we want to receive,
mm-hmm.
the more apt we are to get it. If we ask for something vague, we will get something vague.
Well, we will get an abundance of a lot of different experiences.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We're not being
clear. No.
That's why I said I'm intending it for prosperity.
No. Okay, I'm getting specific here.
Everybody got that? Everybody drink that in. Everybody take a drink.
You get an abundance of confusion. You don't want that.
Definitely not. Thank you so much for pointing that out.
It comes in many forms. Pain,
yes,
confusion.
Yes.
Ooh, we don't want.
Oh,
that.
Wow, is that important?
you know, things that we might not want.
You asked for it, you got it, Toyota.
And actually, that's very valid, because you know what, Marilyn? Life is abundant. So getting your prayer answered for abundance is so easy. But that's why so many of us are in all of this confusion, because of the lack of clarity.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's a lack of defining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there's the clarity, but we're not defining it. So we're not allowing it to happen, because we can say we want something, but saying that we allow for it to happen is a very different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and actively allow for it, which means we have an active participatory role.
Exactly. Mm. And it's like, you know, really not only saying yes, but saying yes and then being the person we need to be to allow it to happen, and then doing what needs to be done to allow it to happen.
Okay.
So there's the action involved in it. We can say we want it all day long,
attraction.
But wanting doesn't get us there. That's not the law of attraction.
Well, then I've got to add a serious fine-tuning to one of the things that I would like in terms of abundance. There's a role that I'm going for, which is for in a comedy musical, Mama Morton, and I want that role.
Okay.
All right.
I really want that role. There.
Well, Marilyn, here's what I'm going to ask you to do for that role is tap into your heart and feel it there.
Really feel
Thank
it.
Thank you. Okay.
Feel it there. And for all of you, if you want something, tap into your heart and feel it there. Because if you can't feel it there, it's not a true heart's desire. It's a head desire.
Okay.
Okay?
And in addition to that, when you tap into your heart, if you feel sadness, because sometimes people will tap into their heart and they start to feel sadness. And oftentimes that's because they don't feel deserving.
Yes.
That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's been happening.
And then creating and allowing for the sadness to move through so that you can feel joy about it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what I'm feeling now.
Good. That's beautiful. Thank you, Teresa, because that's it. You want to feel the sadness and then feel what it would feel like actually receive it.
Yeah, because if we deny the sadness, then we can never be open to receiving it.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Because in essence, guys, the sadness is our heart's longing not being fulfilled.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Hello. I have a question.
Yeah.
And the question is the word want.
Yes.
I've heard so many things about not using that in your vocabulary because you can want, which is like synonymous with lack.
Yes.
And so to choose your word, you know, not using want but using something else. However, want just slides in there all the time.
But that's okay, my dear. What you do is you refine it. You don't make yourself wrong for feeling the word want, but you just notice it and refine it.
I'm sorry. I was talking. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You notice it. The word want shows up all the time, and just don't make yourself wrong for it. Just notice that it's coming up, and then refine it. And the way you refine it is what we just said. You go to your heart, and you feel it there. So you go to your heart and you feel that sadness because that sadness is that illusion of lack. That's the illusion.
Okay.
And then you just feel that because it feels real and your heart wants to express itself. Everybody's heart wants to express itself. Every living thing's heart, every living soul wants to express itself. And it expresses mostly through the heart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Wow, this is fun. I like it because it's you know, and who knows, I may mute it, I may not. I kind of like this interactive mode where as long as we can still hear everybody, I like the fact that that we're refining it ourselves and clarifying because it really is when we really, really we need to open our hearts and feel our true hearts. But I think that this is key, that whole sadness part. So thank you, Teresa, because it feels like often we go to our hearts and we feel the sadness there, so we go, oh, I must be doing something wrong.
Exactly, and then we avoid it because
exactly.
That feels painful.
And we shut it down even more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the opposite of that. You go there, and what you want to do is feel your life.
Exactly, and this is kind of an odd twist too. Sometimes we stay in the sadness without letting it move through because it's our way of punishing ourselves for being wrong.
Yep.
And so there again, we're not allowing for the heart's longing to come through. And I just want to do this as a little side note. If you find yourself having a lot of background noise, please press *6.
Yeah, please do. And if we do that, then we can leave the lines open as much as possible.
Yeah, and if not, then we might mute you.
But
being mindful that staying in the sadness is oftentimes a way of self-punishment.
Yep.
And the reason that we punish ourselves is because we don't believe we deserve it.
Yes, and part of that is we don't believe we deserve it, but many of us have done a lot of work where we really do believe we deserve it, but we tend to go back into those patterns, and it's less about the deservedness and more about the repetitive pattern and the comfort in the pain and the comfort in the confusion. And so it's habitual. It doesn't mean it feels good, but it does mean it's a repetitive pattern. So you may feel deserving and be wondering, why is this not happening? Why? I mean, you know, I feel like I am worthy. And you may really feel like you are worthy, but the habits are so deeply ingrained that you just keep going back there.
Exactly. And there's that habit. And sometimes, too, when it comes to the level of deserving, we are at the point of deserving. And know we that, so, for example, you may know that you deserve, and I'm going to use the one example that was brought up. You may know that you that you really want and you deserve that role.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a part of you that's not sure you deserve the recognition, or that you deserve the applause, or that you deserve the stage. But you know you deserve the role. And I say this because sometimes we are at the level of deserving, but what that deserving and allowing for that to happen might bring to us brings us to a whole different level of recognition of who we are. What's possible for us, and sometimes that fear is too.
Yeah, which can
very
be
true.
And that's why a lot of people, when it comes to money, it's not that they truly know they deserve money, but to know that they deserve to have the finer things of life, to know that they deserve to be fully secure, to know that they deserve to not have to worry and live paycheck to paycheck, to know that they deserve to reap the benefits of money.
And to know that life is abundant. Because
and to know that life is abundant.
Many people know they deserve, but they feel like on some level if they have everything they need, it's going to somehow take away from another person.
Exactly.
Totally the opposite. The more you live the life that you're designed to live, the more that your environment reflects that by people around you living the life they're designed to live. So the more you empower yourself, the more you empower others.
And you become the example for others to do the same.
And I'm going back to that feeling again because I need to clarify that a little more with the feeling. Part of what you were saying earlier too, Teresa, about being stuck in the sadness, part of that is habit. But part of that is not understanding that they're not really feeling the sadness, because when you really feel it, it's like a baby. You know how a baby goes from rah, rah, to giggling? When you really feel it, you feel it really, really intensely, deeply feel it, but it goes really quickly.
It's the level of intensity.
Yes. So it's not a lingering. If you're lingering and staying stuck in a feeling, just realize that there's a story attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Don't make the story wrong. Just realize it and let the story go.
Okay.
Okay.
Because part of how we recreate our lives is through our stories.
Yep.
The stories are not bad. It's
no.
Just, what are we creating with the story? Are we perpetuating and creating pain? Or are we perpetuating and creating joy?
Exactly.
And that's what it comes down to. Which story are you creating?
Exactly. And so this brings to mind, I recently had a conversation with a homeless man yesterday, actually. And it was interesting because, I mean, I'm just going to keep this brief because I don't want to make it all about that, but it's really important, it feels. Because we're sitting having brunch, and a homeless man and his dog comes by, and I had seen him the night before, too, while we were having dinner. And he sits down, and we start having a conversation, and he starts talking about how the government's stealing from him, and everybody's stealing from him, and da-da-da-da-da, and his eyes are open now, and all that, and he's so angry. and he's so victimized. And I just looked at him and I said, you know, when we were talking too, because I said, I saw you yesterday and I really felt bad for you, but I have to tell you, I was really worried about the dog. And he said, and he said, funny how people are concerned about the dog. And I said, the dog doesn't have a choice. Humans, you have a choice. And he said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. And so we had a major dialogue, and I said, don't tell me you don't have a choice. You know, yeah, you're seeing us sitting here having dinner on the sidewalk, and you saw or breakfast on the sidewalk, and you saw us last night. But you know what we did when we finished having dinner last night? We went to work afterwards. And it's not about making you wrong. It's about making you realize that you have a choice. You don't have to stay stuck. And is it helpful? Is it helpful for you to think that everybody's against you and that the world is unfair? Because if it's helpful for you, then have at it. But if it's not, I highly suggest you change your thinking. And it was a good conversation. So at the end of the conversation, the man left it, lifted. I don't know what he did with it after that, but this is how we lift people around us. We don't buy into their misery. It's not about negating their misery. It's about saying to them, look, is this helpful to you? Are you enjoying this place you're in? Because if you're not, quit blaming those outside of you and start taking proactive steps. Baby steps are all you need to take. All you have to do is make them.
Exactly, and it's about speaking the truth from the heart.
Yes, from the heart.
Because then
it's not from a judgmental place. It's from the heart.
It's not that way. You're not invalidating someone. You're really empowering them to make a choice.
No.
So.
And that's what each one of us have the opportunity. We're each empowered to make a choice. We're each empowered to say yes or to say no.
Yes.
And when we don't make a choice, we're making a choice.
Exactly.
But we're doing it passively instead of actively. And to really increase your personal power in your life, active choices help make that happen.
Exactly. So, and active choices from, again, a place of the heart. And just so you know, guys, we're integrating the heart and the mind. It's not about saying we don't want you to think. We want you to feel, but we want you to, it's interesting, I read something recently that said, feel with your brain and think with your heart. So it's an interesting thing. I'm not sure I agree with it, but the sentiment is real. It's integrate the heart and the brain. So make choices through the heart and then just follow whatever directives come through by actively engaging your brain and doing it.
You know, it's kind of like they say, never let success get to your head.
Yep.
Well, yes. How about never letting failure get to your heart?
Yeah, I was just
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I actually like always let success go to your heart.
Always let success go to your heart. But the truth is, you know, we've been told that. Never let success get to your head. How about not letting failure get to your heart? Or how about not letting the circumstances of your life
dictate where you go from there? It's choice.
And that's the difference between having your life defined by your experiences or letting them be a defining point in your life.
Exactly. And it's also, are you co-creating? You don't co-create if you say, this is my lot in life and I'm stuck with it and I can't do anything about it. That's not co-creating. That's powerlessness. That's victimness. That's an archetype. That's not who you are.
And any time you blame others or complain about or just complain, you're choosing to be a victim. And that's not what we want to hear. But it is what happens.
Yeah.
And every time you play the victim role, you consciously or unconsciously put yourself in an effective and weak position.
Not just you, actually all of us. Because we are all connected.
Yeah, when it's you, it's me, it's us. And basically that makes it virtually impossible to allow yourself to see and experience the incredible miracles that are ready and waiting to enter your life because you're choosing to remain in the negative mental state.
Yes.
And that's a hard place to be in when we're feeling fear.
Exactly.
Hard place to see another way. And so sometimes it's like, well, how might I feel if I weren't in fear?
Ah, okay, and I'm going to throw a different definition for fear in there. I may have done this before, but I'm doing it again because collective consciousness needs to be aware of a different definition.
They do.
And one definition of fear is reverential awe.
It is.
And that just means the reverential awe for your own life and for every life you encounter. And, okay, so we're going to some physical symptoms right now because I'm feeling my legs really intensely in pain. So that, to me, denotes that there is a fear of moving forward.
It's affecting the knees as well.
Say what?
It's affecting the knees as well.
Yeah, I'm feeling it from the hips down, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So from the pelvis down. So it's like this fear of moving forward. And actually, before we got on this call, it was interesting because I did a deep meditation before we got on because I started feeling like all of this dark, dark, heavy energy. And it had this kind of menacing look to it. But, you know, I know that energy is energy and we're all the same. And when I looked at the energy, it was kind of like the more I was able to look at it and feel it, I was able to recognize it was fear. It was just terror, fear, panic. And it was like, okay, so we'll hold the space here until you can actually calm down. And that's the collective consciousness. There's all of this energy being invested and ingested around what the future holds. And, you know, quite honestly, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what the future holds. It's what's holding right now. Where are you right now? The future, as far as I'm concerned, it's heaven. But what matters is what are you doing with your life right now? And it's just about what energy are you choosing to invest in? Because it's really about investing. And are you choosing to invest in yourself or are you feeling totally spent? And this is going to finances too, because money has been a huge denominator in this whole shift in consciousness. And it's really interesting because it's being asked to be set free. And what that means is, you know, it's like it wants to fly. It wants to soar. It wants this. It wants to actually be able to achieve all of the amazing things that it was designed to do. And it's been bound and burdened and overwhelmed by our misguided interest in it. And our beliefs about what its purpose is. So, again, it's an energy, too.
And it's like, all energy.
Exactly. It would just like to be taken and transmuted into the heart and turned into fuel for life. Fuel for life. You're up, Teresa.
Yeah, I can feel it. So the piece that's coming up around this, around life, is because there has been such an association of perceived, and I call it perceived, pain around life, there's a hesitancy to be pro-life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the piece where we drop into not being pro-life is not allowing for joy to happen, because to be pro-life, and that means pro your life, period, and for joy and to operate from that place of joy and heart is about surrendering. And this place of surrender is often seen as a bad place.
Yes.
Where someone overpowers us. But it's about surrendering to truth and the truth of who you are.
Yes.
Because as we were saying earlier, when you surrender to that emotion and really feel it at its depth, it doesn't have to last for a long time.
No, it is intense.
But it's very intense. But it's about surrender, truly surrendering. But there's this element and this illusion of control that happens. And because we don't feel like we can trust life or trust God, we want to try to control everything. And we tell ourselves we're not trying to control everything, but really we are, because if we surrendered, we wouldn't have the need to control.
Yes.
So it's about dropping into a place of surrender that really allows for trust. It allows for trusting who you really are. It allows for trusting for support. It allows for trusting the divine to be available for you to be completely resourceful. It means for surrendering to being nurtured and nourished and surrendering to knowing that invulnerability is strength. It means surrendering to connection and to belonging. And you might say, yeah, but I don't have anybody to connect to, or I don't have any place to belong to right now. Maybe because you haven't been available to it.
Yeah.
How about if you can't connect to your heart, then you can't connect to anybody, really. There's always a place to experience connection and belonging, even if it's within yourself.
Especially, it has to be within yourself.
Right, it has to start there. But what I'm saying is, when we're in circumstances where we feel like we're all alone, and we say to ourselves, well, I don't have anybody, well, you have yourself. And you're the mirror.
And
sometimes it's looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing who you really are.
No.
And it's surrendering to the connection to the world, surrendering to being in relationship with the world, surrendering to moving out of dogma into dharma, surrendering into really self-worth, surrendering to knowing love and peace, surrendering to when you feel angry so that you can feel joy.
Yes.
Surrendering to feeling sadness so that you can feel joy. It's surrendering to being able to synthesize things. It's surrendering to allowing your body to move the way it wants to move instead of trying to make it move the way you think it's supposed to move.
Yeah, I have to interject because I'm feeling everybody's overwhelmed. So it's like all that surrender is like a little overwhelming sometimes. So at the start,
it can be.
One surrender at a time.
And it is one surrender at a time.
Mm-hmm. Moment.
And the reason it's coming up to say all of these is because what one person can surrender to doesn't mean the other person's ready to do that yet.
No, I think it's great you're saying it. I just could feel it. And it's like, okay, this is good. I just wanted to just kind of reiterate to everybody, hey, you start one surrender at a time, and you really surrender moment. If you just surrender to the moment.
Moment by moment. And
moment
that's where it comes back to
moment.
The baby steps are good.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we take the baby steps, it does all happen at one time.
Yes, it does.
And we are experienced witnesses of that.
Yes.
Sometimes it just takes it's like the domino effect. You push that one domino, and boom, everything else happens. And that's amazing and can feel scary only because it feels different.
Yes.
Wow. Only because it's not what we know or what we have known.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for all those overachievers out there, that's that what we were just by surrendering moment to moment to moment. I was one of those overachievers, and that's still a tendency. Realize is, okay, so I skipped baby steps most of my life. Many of us did because our parents didn't know a lot the way, so they didn't teach us because they didn't know it. And so I personally skipped a lot of baby steps, which made me make a whole lot of mistakes in my choices in the way I was living my life in the world. And I realized, go back to baby steps, and then they start happening in big leaps.
And the baby steps helps you reconnect to the joy.
Yes.
Because the child is born with only two fears, the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we drop into the baby steps, we can drop into the childlike place. There's another piece coming up here, Debbie, around balancing out the nervous system.
Yep, important.
And we're specifically working with the somatic nervous system, which allows you to drop into truly feeling life and experiencing life and being present and being in the body and being present to the body so that you can take action and experience movement and stillness from the integration of the body as well as the mind.
And as you're saying that, I'm having to actually get up and move around.
I was too. And so it's about being able to be in that place of really feeling, because that allows us to then understand when we move into true feeling, we know when our body wants to move and when it needs to rest.
Yes.
We allow for it to be at rest, or we take action because we become in tune to the needs of the body. And that means we allow ourselves to receive. And that means we allow ourselves to give. Appropriately
is a big key word.
So it's about finding that balance. It's the balance of giving and receiving. It's the balance of rest and healing. It's the balance of experiencing life and the balance of body, mind, spirit, soul.
And that entails self-honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing is, well, simultaneously, we're working with the myelin sheath here of everybody too, including mm-hmm. the planet at the cellular level, because mm-hmm. that's the, you know, the raw nerve endings and the habits. And honesty is important because a lot of times we overgive from this place of not being honest with ourselves of what do we really want out of our giving.
Exactly. Because if we're giving from a place of guilt or from a place of need for recognition.
Yep.
Or if we're even just giving unconsciously.
Yep. We have to give from a place of love, we have to give from our heart.
And give from a place of truly feeling abundant.
Yes. Feeling abundant and not depleting ourselves.
And exactly, feeling abundant, which true abundance doesn't give in to depletion.
Exactly.
And the other piece is, when you're truly giving completely giving from that place, it's a complete giving without attachment.
It's also not us giving, so it's going through our bodies instead of depleting our bodies.
Right, because money, wealth, whatever, isn't ours anyway. It's just, it's not ours to own. It's been ours to use however we want to, whether it's for ourselves or for somebody else.
Yep. Okay. So it feels like we're also working on digested.
Mm-hmm.
Our digestive systems, our ideas of nourishment and feeling nourished and feeling replenished.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes water and food and thoughts and feelings and all nourishment. All nourishment.
All nourishment.
Being able to receive it and to let go what doesn't serve us. Because if we let go what doesn't serve us, it serves something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the symbiosis of life.
So it's about that digestion, but to take that into another vocabulary, it's about the movement as well.
Yes.
The movement of food.
Digestion, movement, exactly.
Thoughts, the movement of nourishment, the movement, how we process things, how we process life. Because if we're not moving it, we are oversensitive or undersensitive.
Yes.
That's part of the balance of giving and receiving. It's the moving of it.
Yes. And the acknowledgement that we are here for that movement. Whatever that means for each of us. Okay. Going into the cranial bones for some reason.
Yeah, and it feels like there's a lot around the ethmoid bone.
Ethmoid bone, TMJ, vomer, zygoma, all of the cranial bones, the lacrimals, the whole head.
The sphenoid.
Yes.
But what it feels like in that, you know, this place here is often where we are kind of tend to be more tuned in to information and what we want to be available in the collection of universal information, like the internet out there, only it's universal internet, is the ability of tuning in, receiving pure information.
Yes.
And pure thinking, and pure energy, and pure universal chi, so that through the fascia of the body, that mala chi in the fascia, we can conduct and transmit in a way that the meridians can then filter and organize our beliefs in a way to support us, so that we can recognize our body intelligence and our organ intelligence, and then begin to integrate it and project it clearly through the sphenoid, which helps with the openness of the breath, so that it begins to be integrated in a pure way.
On that note, everybody take a deep breath.
And make sure to exhale. Because when we move into anxiety, it's because we're not breathing. And we're either not breathing because we're stuck inhale or we're stuck on the exhale.
Bottom line is it's a stuckness. So let's work with that stuckness. We're working with the breath. But we're also working with the cranial bones. we're also going back to the heart because there's a stuckness in the heart. It feels like a lock or a vice. The heart is locked down. Locked down. We need to reboot our...
Well, the heart is the place where we really open ourselves up to receiving... to receiving joy.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes the brain thinks that there's a kind of a glimpse. Many of us have received this glimpse of this blissful state, and then the heart and the brain have like this dialogue, and the brain says, "Whoa, too much for the body to deal with."
Mm-hmm.
So there's a kink in the hose. Let's shut it down a little bit. We don't want to shut it down. We want to open it wide open. Open it wide open.
Yeah, because sometimes our early experiences of life have taught us that we don't get to keep that joy. But it's only for a fleeting minute. Who do you think you are? You're too big for your britches.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things that we were told as a kid.
Yeah, we have to realize we want that childlike wonderment, but we don't want to act as if we are kids and don't have a choice in our lives. We didn't then, but we do now.
Do now. It's bringing that childlike wonderment, like you said. And we're bringing in the elements of earth, water, air, fire, and spirit. I thought that would be metal, but it's spirit.
Metal, too. I was like, wait, where'd the metal go?
Well that's how it's coming up right now.
That's, well, you know why? Because it just occurred to me, because spirit is breath.
Spirit is breath, and it's the connection to the divine flow of abundance.
Yes.
And the fire element is the consistent and rhythmic actions that you take that energize your relationship with whatever it is you want to be in a relationship, i.e. money or people or joy or acting or whatever it is. So that fire element is that consistency, passionate, rhythmic action that's taken. And the air element is like the unseen realm. It's the thoughts and focus and the intentions that direct our creation of our energy, whether it's in finances or life. Or relationship building, that it's that unseen realm that we don't always connect in, but it's influencing that. And the water is that influencing how feelings impact the experience. And I'm bringing money up because that's something, you know, it's about thriving. You know, so it's about how you experience with money or health in a way that that flows into your life and into your business. And the earth represents the grounded systems and structures that you're using to achieve and maintain that.
Exactly. And one of the things we're working on clarifying is building these relationships, though, is one thing, but there needs to be clarity at the deepest, at the cellular level. There's we need to clarify that we are always in relationship.
Always.
Even when we don't think we're in relationship, we are in relationship, and it is an inability to relate. That's a relationship. So when we are in a disharmonious relationship or a shutting down, that is a relationship. So we want to shift that consciousness around relating at the heart level instead of the level of pain.
And that's not to say that you'll never feel pain.
Oh, yeah, you'll feel pain. We'll feel. We all will. We're human.
It doesn't have to be a perpetuating pain.
No. it's a pain you feel, and you go, ouch, that hurt. Okay, I'm going on. Okay.
There's a question coming up that I can hear a couple people are saying. And the question is, yeah, but my situation is different. You know,
yeah.
I had this happen to me, and I've been trying everything. So it's kind of like a question comment that's going on in some people's minds here. Have you really tried everything? Have you really surrendered?
To the heart.
You really allowed yourself to see the miracle in front of you.
Exactly. Receive the miracle, not just see it in front of you. Actually, many people, that's one thing I just heard, is many people have seen the miracles happen for other people, but not me. It's kind of like that song, they're playing love songs, but not for me.
Yeah, so it's about receiving it and experiencing it, allowing it to happen.
Allowing it.
When you find yourself, so the piece here is when you find yourself saying, well, maybe that's not for me, how about saying, I allow that to happen, or I'm willing to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I am willing is the first step.
Tap that into your heart center.
Yeah.
I'm willing to allow that to happen, or I choose to allow that to happen takes that even stronger.
Yeah. Well,
because
yeah,
then it becomes your conscious choice.
It's like going through those steps, though. Some people may not feel like they can choose it right now, but they can be willing to choose it.
Exactly. So that's why it's finding out where can you speak your truth.
Yes, because that's the thing with affirmations. Affirmations will not work if you don't believe it. If on some level your body says, that's wrong, that's not what's going on in my life, it's like your body says to you, you're lying. And then more distrust comes. So if you keep affirming something that you don't know, you don't believe, then it makes it even like if there's a bigger gap to what you want, because it's like there's a sense of betraying yourself.
Exactly. So even if you find yourself not even able to say, I'm willing to allow it to happen, then say, I'm willing to allow for the possibility of it.
Or you can keep it simple and say, can I? So you can
or how can I?
How can I? How can I? But
how can I?
Yes.
Because then the brain will look for ways for it to happen.
Exactly.
Because that goes back to the brain looks for evidence of the
yes.
questions we ask ourselves and the beliefs that we hold.
So every time we say, ow, why does this always happen to me? The universe says, let me show you.
And it might not tell you exactly why it's happening, but it's going to make you keep feeling it.
It's going to say, let me show you. Let me see if you can figure it out. I'll give you this experience. So instead ask, you know, it's like I have this saying on my desk that says, why am I so loved, so healthy, and so wealthy? I didn't believe it when I wrote it down, but it was like, I don't know, why am I? And you know what? It's happening. So it's like, okay, I'm willing to look a different place, but I have to be willing to look a different place, and I have to know it's possible. So it's baby steps. Again, baby steps. We want to set up the cellular matrix, the cellular structure that allows you to take those wings and fly, but first you have to get up and you have to crawl and then take those toddler steps.
And be okay with that.
No,
and celebrate that.
Have fun with it.
Because every time you celebrate it and have fun with it, you perpetuate it.
Yeah.
You invite more of that into your life.
Yeah.
And any time you can do something that makes you feel good, maybe it's listening to some awesome music. Like one, you know, maybe it's, like one of my practices is dancing every day. I find an amazing song that just makes my heart open and makes me feel good. And my heart open might mean that I'm in tears, but it's tears of openness.
Yeah.
And allowing myself to dance every single day, even if it's just a one song, creates that opening. So finding that way to create an opening of heart in your practice every day. For some people, it might be meditating. But I find that for most people, if there is movement, and maybe you can't get up and dance because you have something going on physically, but you can move your upper body.
Yep.
You move your head.
Yep.
You know, there's always something that you can move.
Yes.
That can invite an opening. And movement is so important because the DNA structure is a spiral. It's two spirals.
Yep.
It's made up of these two spirals. And what are we doing when we're dancing? We are spiraling.
Yes.
We're spiraling. We're opening up for the DNA to be at ease and flow and in balance.
Yeah, so we're going to tap into that ease right now. Who was it? Asked for the easy button. Well,
yeah.
We tap into the easy button by tapping into ease. Ease. Ease.
And so finding those practices that open your heart, even if it's only for 1 to 5 minutes a day.
And if it's not physical moving, find something to laugh at.
Exactly.
Make funny faces at yourself in the mirror. If you can't do that, just watch something stupid that makes you laugh. That's what I used to say. You know, a lot of people are anti-TV, and I'm not pro a lot of the stuff out there for TV, but I used to say sometimes I just love watching stupid TV because it makes me laugh. And that's like anything that makes me laugh.
And if you go on YouTube and just look up Buddha on the Train or Bodhisattva on the Train, that's
yeah,
a
yeah.
great video to make you laugh.
It
You'll
is.
Just laugh and laugh and laugh
that's
and laugh.
That's my favorite.
Because you can't help but laugh once you watch it.
I know.
No matter who you are, watching that video, you will eventually laugh.
So, doing more with the nervous system. Feels like just an integration, actually, at the fascial level, with the spinal nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like we're kind of integrating, you know, the chakras of the body, but it's not just the main chakras. It's like every chakra point in the body, which is to science's knowledge over 300 points. But bottom line is it's all of these points. It's like I see all these points lighting up in everybody's body, so it eventually just looks like one big light.
And there's a piece of the nervous system that's coming up around balancing an aspect of the central nervous system, which has to do with the limbic or gut reaction, and it has to do with risk-taking.
Oh, very, very true. Beautiful.
Because when we're locked in fear and control, to do anything different feels like it's a huge risk because it does step us out of our comfort zone. Bringing in this piece to allow for risk-taking and to be able to be okay with a little reckless abandon and release old memories and beliefs that have been triggering us into lacking responsiveness to the opportunities that are right in front of us.
I love that. Is that so, so?
And so that's the piece we're bringing in right now.
Beautiful. And it feels like, actually, Teresa, we're tapping that into the part of the brain that functions our sense of humor.
Yes.
Like tapping into the funny bone of our brain.
Yes.
So it's like that gut reaction, that visceral angst mm-hmm. like connecting it right up into the brain and into the nervous system and tapping into that part that sees the cartoonishness of it all. Deepak Chopra says, the best response to life is laughter.
Yeah.
It is. And we're doing an integration into the meridians and into the auric fields and into the Wei Qi and all the energy levels. It feels like it's just kind of going, like, settling in.
Yeah, to influence our original blueprint.
Yeah. Kind of going back to what you originally said, talking about balance. It's like smoothing out the rough edges in our fields.
There's also a balance coming in here around the cortical aspect of the nervous system. And it's about the aspect of thinking and control, how sometimes we think we have to understand something before we can move on.
Yes.
And we don't. Sometimes we just need to be in action.
Willing.
And be willing to experience something different and to perceive a different way.
Yes.
Because understanding doesn't always create an opening.
No, because an understanding is actually very limited because it is a cortical response. It's like we can only say, here's the thing, and this is we can only understand from our history, which means we're never really stepping into anything new if we totally understand it because we're always relating it to something from our past.
And understanding only serves you when it's understanding from that allows for compassion
mm-hmm.
of the other people or situations that allows us to move to forgiveness. Because otherwise we just continue to seek understanding, but we don't really find anything.
Exactly, and I need to open up the definition of forgiveness expanding. It's like opening up. It's like, and it's again a heart opening, and it's about tapping into even more than forgiveness from the greater perspective, but not from the perspective
exactly.
of you did me wrong, so but I will forgive you. It's more about opening up the heart channel and saying from this greater perspective of compassion, and we're all connected and we're all working from our own level of where we are and just recognizing that we're all playing our part. So it's compassion.
Well, it is compassion. And the other piece around that is when we're in the place of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
it's the recognition of, I want to make sure that I'm saying this right. So it's more like that forgiveness, it's like we have these definitions around forgiveness that are kind of limiting.
Yeah.
But when we take it to the universal level, then we can accept it at a much deeper, 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 deeper way.
Absolutely.
Because if we don't, then we'll say that we'll always come to the place of saying that or believing that a certain thing is unforgivable. And if we, you know, forgiveness is forgiveness is about setting healthy boundaries. Forgiveness is about so many things that we oftentimes don't equate it with, but it's essential to recognize it on that bigger, greater, global, well, playing field, that forgiveness isn't about self-sacrifice.
No, actually, and what I'm seeing being drawn in right now is the energy of Ho'oponopono.
I was seeing that too, because what happens is we too commonly associate the forgiveness with sacrifice.
And it's not
at all.
No.
But because there's so many. There's in the religious world, and that's religion across the board.
Yes.
That, you know, not just the Christian religion, but religion across the board, that we perceive that this is, that forgiveness is about sacrifice, and it's not. True forgiveness is not.
No, it's not.
And that may push some people's buttons. To say that, but
okay,
it's okay.
Okay, it's the Ho'oponopono energy, which is really about, you know, hey, we're all connected, and even bigger than that, you know, it's that illusion of we could do something wrong. It's about setting
mm-hmm.
healthy boundaries too.
Mm-hmm. Because forgiveness is really about making peace with your past.
Yes, making peace with your past. Exactly. Your past is always there, but it's not about continually bringing it to life.
Because when you make peace with it, you don't have to keep bringing it to life, and you don't have to define your life by it anymore.
No, it's about actually freeing yourself from it and learning and taking what lessons you got from it and moving forward. And by the way, no true lessons from your past include violence or anger. That's not true lessons. That's the story.
Yeah. It feels like we're just doing a general brain balancing now, masculine, feminine brain, right and left hemispheres.
Yeah, just tapping that in.
And, you know, there's kind of like this peace around creating freedom from the judgments of yourself and of the world and of others and opening up to happiness.
Yeah. And actually being okay with having so rigidly defined by them. You know, not beating yourself up with, okay, a judgment shows up. So what? That's just a self-awareness tool for me. That
mm-hmm.
that just means, oh, okay, this is where I still have narrow vision.
Yeah, because if you beat yourself up over it, you're just perpetuating self-judgment.
Exactly. That's going right into the liver.
Because when you're in that place of judgment, you become burdened, and your creativity is blocked, and it just doesn't happen.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. It's stalled.
Like you're stuck.
Stalled or shut down. And if you're, and all different areas of your life begin to shut down. Good. Let's just pull that out. Dear, I feel like we're getting close to the end. We've gone way over tonight.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. And if your heart's not open, then it's closed. And the perception is if it's closed or it's closed to stay strong, but you really weaken yourself when you leave the heart closed.
Yeah, it had this image. If your heart is closed, imagine if your heart is closed, what happens to your blood flow? What happens to the flow of anything in your life?
Because you can only experience true intimacy, true love, true joy with the heart open.
Yep.
And you can do it.
Exactly. Okay. So, just what I just felt, a question around that. It's like having your heart open doesn't mean you walk around like la 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 la. Oh, sweet, happy, da 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 da. That's not the heart open.
That's going into denial.
Okay, I'm glad I came through loud and clear. Not like, oh, everything's happy, and oh, that person just ran over me, and I'll forgive them, and oh, I'll be happy. That's bullshit. That's not an open heart. That is, I love you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's like seeing the world through rose-colored glasses.
I love it. That's not an open heart.
That's not true openness of the heart.
No, it's not. I'm so glad that question came through. Thank you, whoever said that. So that's not a true open heart is honest, and that means sometimes saying things that don't feel like they actually you would say them. I've had things come out of my mouth that I've said to people, and it's not been like meant to be hurtful, but I've said it from an open heart space, and they got it, and they're like thanking me.
So and likewise.
And it doesn't mean I'm saying, oh, my heart is always open, and I'm like everybody else. It's not. I'm just saying. Having your heart open means being honest. Being so honest that you're recognizing when you're not being honest. And not being honest is being sweet and sappy all the time and never speaking your truth. That's a shut down heart, too.
That's a shut down heart.
And that's actually, I think, in Chinese medicine, they might even call that excess joy.
Exactly, because when you do that, you're still not in the driver's seat of your life.
No,
you're still letting someone else control you, because you're still hiding, and you're not really open to love.
No. So, it's about being honest, people, with your heart wide open, heart and eyes wide open. Nice. Let's tap that all in, Mary.
Just tap that on your heart center, in your heart. It's opening
to love. I love it. And whoever's cat just showed up, thank you.
But when we open the heart, we're opening to love.
Yay. And that. And do you have anything else?
Nope.
That feels perfect.
Feels good to me.
Me too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what? I really loved having the lines open.
It was appropriate tonight.
Yeah. You know what? We're talking about having the heart open, so we had the lines open. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that heartfelt laugh.
Guess who?
I knew it was you.
Thank you for getting that out of me.
Welcome.
Excellent.
Oh, we are going to carry. We're carrying this into 2013. Are you coming with me, Teresa?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to do this next year too.
Yay!
So this is the last one for 2012, but we're continuing because we want everybody to open their hearts. So as many people as you want to invite, invite them.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you
for being on the call with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, this was much better than a cup of coffee. I am awake.
You don't know, Marilyn's in France, so it's like really early in the morning for her.
Rolling out of bed and trying to get open heart is kind of interesting. But now I'm ready.
Yay.
So I thank you all, and I wish you a wonderful holiday season.
Likewise.
Thanks much, and I'll see you in 2013.
You're welcome. Yes, you will.
Okay, bye bye all.
Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Debbie. Have a Merry Christmas.
You're welcome.
You too.
Bye now. Will there be a replay of this call?
There will.
Okay.
We'll send the link out on the
It's going to be a recording, yeah. And
you're not on Facebook, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so I'll make sure that we send you the link.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can get it off the website, too, that New Moon Session website.
Yeah, if you go to the New Moon Session, that's just at www.newmoonsession.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it'll be posted on there, plus the previous ones are posted there.
Yeah, and it'll be posted tomorrow, because Norman's my web, and he's not here.
And, Teresa, I know you, but would you share with me the other host's name?
Oh, hi.
It's my friend Debbie Moran.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us.
That's wonderful.
I'm glad. Oh, I want to turn it off.